You're in the home 6010.
Hey, welcome to Fantasy Focus. Today's podcast is presented by Geico. You can watch us every weekday at 11 a.m. on ESPN's Twitter, ESPN Fantasy's Facebook page, and the ESPN YouTube feeds, as well as the ESPN app, one tap, and you can download Fantasy Focus wherever you get your podcast. My name is Phil Diaz, and if you're watching us on the live stream right now, you can see to my left is the star of the show, Stefania Bell, and then to her left is Mike Clay, who, as far as I'm concerned, also a star of the show. Happy Thursday to everybody here. We've got a game tonight. We're going to talk about that. We're going to talk about wide receiver cornerback matchups. We're going to talk about injuries. We got a lot to cover today, but I'm going to start by asking the most important question. Stefania, how are you?
Oh, Phil, that's so nice of you. I'm fine. I missed you yesterday, you know, when I was busy, like, tallying up where all these players were in terms of their injuries and everything. I was busy working the phones and doing that stuff on a Wednesday, but I missed you and Daniel. You guys held down the fort.
Most people take their off days off, Stefania. Like, you're allowed to do that too. But Stefania, of course, continues to work as hard as she always does. There's a reason why. I heard this quote from Nick Saban recently. I think it's part of the Football Life documentary that was either just released or will debut soon. What did he say? It was like, once you reach the mountaintop, you become the mountain. Or so something like that.
So, like, in the fantasy football industry, that would, of course, be Daniel Dowd, right?
Right. Wow.
Oh,
that's fired from
I
Mike
can't believe
Clay.
Mike Clay just said something nice about me.
Why is Mike buttering you up? Is it because, you know, he knows you guys are recording it's another just podcast after this, and he wants you to be nice to him?
It's just because you're the first person in front of me.
Direct eyesight. That's what it is. Just the first
Kyle
thing
was
you
there,
see.
Would have been Kyle, you know,
sure, yeah. That's fair. Okay. Yeah.
I can't think of anyone else who would be on the top of the fantasy industry.
I think for you, it suns out, guns out a little bit.
I'm telling you,
he has been. I know we've noticed.
You set a very high bar once again. You are the mountaintop when it comes to best arms on this show.
I just don't want to be the mountain. I really don't.
That's a good point. Pretty. Frankly, there's really no second, like, you know, second best in terms of arm. We're not necessarily like we're not. Who's like the world famous? It was Jay Cutler, obviously the quarterback as well. But Jay Cutler's like body by Jay. We're not a bunch of Jay Cutlers here on this podcast, really, in any way. But we try to sort of kind of hang in the same stratosphere as Stefania Bell as well. So we're going to get to some news in just a second. But before we do that, I do want to take a moment here because you guys all know that we're a team here at Fantasy Focus. Obviously, you see all these faces on the show or listen to these voices when you are listening to the audio version of the podcast. But over the years, this show has grown like so much, right? It used to just be an audio podcast. Now we've got a video stream. It's not just us talking into a camera. You see graphics all over the place. You can see them if you're watching right now. The bottom of the show has I think we call it a lower third is the television term. And today, Crystal Nadeau, one of our graphics producers, is celebrating her 18th anniversary here at ESPN.
Wow. 18 years for Crystal.
Congratulations.
Congratulations. Applause right there.
Thank you for all that you do, and we really appreciate your efforts. And I don't think the show comes anywhere close to where it is without a cast of thousands. Crystal, you are an example of the excellent works. We wanted to make sure that you know you are appreciated on a momentous day. 18 years anywhere is an achievement. Congratulations. And here's to 18 more or like four more. And then if you want to go retire and go live a life like Stefania, gallivanting around the world, you can do that as well. But thanks again to Crystal and really everybody who makes this show what it is every single day. And now we turn to the news. And Stefania, we have one of the best players in fantasy football on the injury report, and there are a lot of people that might be looking at their lineups this weekend with a red Q next to Dalvin Cook and wondering, should I be concerned? And I ask you that same question.
Well, I think, you know, obviously you're concerned when your running back, who's been one of the stars of fantasy already this year, when he has an ankle injury, and that's what's going on with Dalvin Cook. But if you heard Mike Zimmer's commentary from yesterday, he's making it pretty clear that the Vikings are planning on using him. Mike Zimmer's quote, he referred to his injury as a little sprain late in the game, not to be confused with a big sprain, I suppose. But anyway, Zimmer's quote was, at this stage, it's time to get some wins. Dalvin's a tough guy. if he can't play, there's a reason why he's not playing, but he makes us go, so we're going to continue to play him. The Vikings have been fairly consistent in this regard. I mean, we've seen Dalvin Cook work even when he's been at less than 100%. I would say that as of now, you know, he's probably not going to practice till late in the week. He did not practice yesterday, but he was out in pads out on the field, so that's a good sign. I think he'll probably focus on rehab. I expect him to go. It's always going to be one of those, does he tweak the ankle during the game, et cetera. But I think if he's good to go and the Vikings make it sound like he is, you are starting him in your fantasy lineup and hoping for the best.
A good reminder, though, to my Clay here, is that in terms of insurance policies, few are more valuable than Alexander Mattison, who we have seen in this role before.
Yeah, no question. There's a reason that he was a mid-round draft pick, essentially. Maybe get him around round 10. I mean, there's a reason for that, and it's because he has that upside if Cook misses time, and Cook has always missed time, right? He's never played a 16-game season. Now it would be a 17-game season, which is an even higher mountain to climb. But look, I think there's a perception out there that Mattison hasn't really done well when he's filled in for Cook, and that's not true. There were three games where Cook was out. I think one game he just played a few snaps and went down. Three games last year, he had 58 touches, 277 yards, and three touchdowns. He was a number seven scoring fantasy running back. So as far as insurance policies go, there's no question about it. Mattison, one of the best. You want him on your bench right now just in case Cook is out.
Yeah, and Alexander Mattison, a third-round pick a few years ago out of Boise State, and people, I think if he was elsewhere, he might be playing a whole bunch more than he is. It's just a testament to the fact that, as we all know on this podcast, Daniel, he's like the second-best running back in the NFL, Dalvin Cook. Or let me put it this way, because people are going to get mad right now, Tennessee and places that aren't Carolina get mad. He's one of like the five best running backs, and maybe the second best running back in the NFL.
Correct. I just wanted to say this. We talked yesterday about rostership percentages here and how sometimes, you know, you got to look at how active leagues are and whatnot. But Alexander Mattison is only rostered in 30% of ESPN leagues right now. Is this one of those things where getting ahead of the curve, you would want to be able to pick someone up now? Yeah. Or do you think that you wait a little bit longer until we have more information?
No, I would be fine with grabbing him right now, especially if you roster Dalvin Cook. In every league that I have Dalvin Cook that isn't a salary league.
Yep.
I have every redraft league. I have Alexander Mattison on my roster. So sometimes salary leagues are just harder because you know they're deeper rosters, and you've got you know there's a bidding process, et cetera, et cetera. But I think he's totally worthwhile if you already have Dalvin Cook right.
Yeah, I mean eight and ten team leagues, it's dicier, but at 12 teamers, I feel like he's in that 192, right? The top 192 players that should be on rosters. I feel like he's in that category, especially with Cook beat up right now. You know, if Cook is ruled out, everyone's going to scramble over to their waiver wire to get him. You want to be a little bit ahead of it. You have a roster spot to burn. Go for it.
Stefania, moving things forward in the NFC North, same division, different team. The Chicago Bears are going to be without their normal starting quarterback. What can you tell us about Andy Dalton?
So Andy Dalton dealing with a bone bruise, and this can be a multi-week injury. It really depends on his rate of healing. And all we know is that he is out this week, that Justin Fields is going to start, but Matt Nagy did reiterate yesterday that Andy Dalton remains the starter if healthy. So, you know, this is going to be a week-to-week situation.
And the Bears, someone from the Bears media asked whether the team was thinking about using the IR slot for Andy Dalton, which would mean three games missed. And Matt Nagy's answer seemed to suggest to me that they are planning on him being back within 3 weeks. So, and I think that's sort of your answer. That jives with what you just said right there as well, Stefania. But for now, we'll have Justin Fields. And Mike, in some ways, this is about as exciting as it gets in terms of young quarterbacks around the NFL. Part of it is the fact that, I mean, most of it's the fact that Justin Fields was certified awesome during his two seasons as a starter at Ohio State. Part of it's also this is a Bears franchise that even though it's had success at the highest levels, won a Super Bowl, this is also a franchise that has really never had a prolonged stretch of quarterback play. Bears fans are itching for this to take place. But let's talk fantasy here for a second. Justin Fields, I think at his peak, has massive upside in fantasy football. But can you start him right away this week?
I don't think so. I'm not ranking him as a startable player right out of the gate. Look, you didn't draft him with the intention of as soon as he starts, you have to throw him right in there, right? He wasn't your number one guy and like, okay, I'll draft him late and I'll just have a holdover. I'll just use Dalton for a couple weeks and then we'll throw Fields in there. You probably have a good starter. You probably have a Stafford or it could be anyone. It could be Mahomes. It could be, you know, you probably have a top 10 or 12 quarterback. So I don't think so. You know, last year when Jalen Hurts started, we were a little hesitant right off the bat. He had that big game, and then you felt a little bit more confident starting him, and that was fine. Fields, we didn't get that big game right away, right? He didn't step in and play at a high level. In fact, he played kind of poorly, if we're going to be honest, right? They were protecting a lead against Cincinnati. The Bengals actually came back in that one, but he was 6 of 13 for 60 yards, an interception, and 2 sacks. And he did run it 10 times, right? He had 10 carries. So that's a good sign. 3 of them were kneels, no big deal. 4 scrambles, 2 design, 1 was a sneak. So still 7, you know, 7 non-kneels. That's a pretty good number. And that's what we want to see, because if he's going to run, that can get him into that quarterback one mix. So we'll keep an eye on that. But at Cleveland, a defense that's off to a slow start, but very talented on paper. We've talked about this all offseason. Loaded defense. It's a road game for him. Coming off what he did last week, I don't feel great with him as a QB1. And, you know, we'll see. I mean, he should be on rosters, right? If you're in a, especially in 12-team leagues, he should be on rosters, on benches for now. We'll see how he does this week and then kind of go from there. But I'll tell you what, in terms of him playing in the future, we've seen this time and time again, right? The coach says, well, no, he's that guy, the veteran's still our starter. He's thinking what we all know, right? If Fields comes out and lights it up,
he's a starter.
He's
forever.
The starting quarterback. Totally. There's a reason you traded up and drafted him. If he stumbles, struggles a little bit, it'll be back and forth this season. Dalton will be back in there. It's much like kind of like Tua last year, right? He got an opportunity, didn't play. So if Tua was lighting it up, adios Fitzpatrick, right? But he was struggling a little bit, so Fitz was back in, then Tua was back, and then Fitz was back. Same kind of thing here. It just comes down to how Justin Fields plays.
If you're watching the show right now, you'll see that both Daniel and I do not have Justin Fields ranked. I do not want to speak for Daniel yet. That's a mistake by me. I just didn't get to updating my rankings yesterday after the news officially dropped that Andy Dalton would be out, and Daniel is confirming that he is the same way. My sense is I'll have him somewhere around, you had him at quarterback 17 on that 17, graphic. Yeah. I could see myself, that's the range I'll be in, plus or minus one or two spots. I think in a 10-team league, I feel pretty confident that if the 10 quarterbacks that I generally associate as like 10 lock-em-in starters are on, like if those are being started anyways, I don't think I'm going to be starting him over like a Justin Herbert or an Aaron Rodgers or player Jalen Hurts even that are sort of in the, let's say, the last 6 to 10 spots amongst quarterbacks. I think where maybe it comes into play, maybe, is if he's playing a deep league. And I don't love to just like dive into what we're dealing with, because we play in leagues like, you know, if you play in like this league where like tight ends get like 5 points for every catch they make, like that's like one league in the entire world, right? We play in a 16-team league here at ESPN, the War Room League, and my roster includes Ryan Tannehill and Justin Fields. Tannehill off to, relatively speaking, a slow start. Justin Fields enticing. I think my lean right now is probably still towards Tannehill, the incumbent starter on our roster. But part of the reason why we invested in Justin Fields is the idea that if he takes this job and lights it up, then he might have a higher weekly upside than Ryan Tannehill, who, by the way, is no slouch himself.
Yeah, I want to ask. Oh, sorry.
I was just going to say one point in the direction of Fields, or, you know, to kind of, you know, a feather in his cap, if you will, in this matchup is, the Browns have struggled against quarterbacks so far. They had Patrick Mahomes had no trouble. Tyrod Taylor had no trouble. Davis Mills threw a touchdown against them. He turned it over.
I could think about this one. I mean, trust me. I'm going to wake up on Sunday morning with gray hair, because I'll be agonizing over this decision for the next 3 days.
Yeah.
Can you tell me really quickly, Field and I yesterday, excuse me, on the show talked about how this might impact the Bears' pass catchers.
Yeah.
When you look at Allen Robinson, Darnell Mooney, Cole Kmet, Mike, just from your perspective, does this change anything for you with the way you're looking at them this week?
Yeah, so I actually did look at the target split so far. Andy Dalton had targeted Allen Robinson and Darnell Mooney 11 times each. So it was pretty even split between those two guys. And actually, Robinson drew a lot of Jalen Ramsey in week one. Or, you know, he was in and out. He was in the slot at times against Ramsey. And he still had the big target week in week one. His targets kind of fell down in week two, and Mooney picked it up. But once Fields came in, it was 4 targets for Mooney, 4 for Robinson, still an even split, but also 4 for Marquise Goodwin, and then 1 to Kmet, Damian Williams, and David Montgomery. So actually neither quarterback has thrown to David Montgomery yet, but it's been a relatively even split between those top two. So, I mean, I don't think it necessarily matters who the quarterback is in terms of target share. I think Robinson's will go up a little bit. Mooney will still be plenty involved. The one thing I am worried about, though, is those scrambles. And a more run-first offense is going to bring down pass volume. And that could impact these guys negatively a little bit, taking away some throws. We've seen that time and time again. Think about a severe situation like Baltimore, right, where they just receivers hard to trust, even the good ones. Marquise Brown has been all over the place other than over the last, say, 8 to 10 games when they just are force-feeding him the ball. So I have some mild concerns about that. But in terms of where the ball is going, not any major changes.
Okay, so let's move forward here to Antonio Brown, who Stefania found himself on the COVID-19 list yesterday.
Yeah, he was added on Wednesday, one of three Buccaneers to go on the list on Wednesday. Now, you may remember from earlier in the season, in the preseason, in fact, Bruce Arians reported that their team was 100% vaccinated. So Antonio Brown still has a chance to be able to play on Sunday, has to be asymptomatic, return two consecutive negative PCR tests within 24 hours of one another. So conceivably could have negative tests starting Friday and be available on Sunday. So keep your eye out for that. They are preparing as if he won't be available, but it's still a possibility.
Yeah, it seems like the rhetoric this week has been, it's a long shot for him to play on Sunday, but don't discount him entirely as of yet. Mike, does this matter for either Mike Evans and Chris Godwin or a next man up wide receiver in Tampa Bay?
Yeah, this one, I covered this one at length. One of the longest blurbs I've ever written in wide receiver cornerback matchups this week was about this situation because it's tricky. I mean, Jalen Ramsey plays that star position. He bounces around the formation. It's left him in the slot a little over half the time this year. That would mean Chris Godwin would be the guy he's on the most. He's been inside about three quarters of the time this year. But when these teams played last season, Antonio Brown had the big game because they put Ramsey on Mike Evans in that game. He shattered him. So I'm not sure exactly what the Rams are going to do, but I think there's risk with Godwin. There's risk with Evans here. And the spot that they've actually had the fifth most fantasy points to Antonio Brown's primary slot in the offense. So, and he had, that was the highest target total he had with the team so far was in that game. So it's a tricky spot for sure. If he plays, I thought felt like maybe he was a sneaky play this week, a kind of a bounce back after a rough week two. If he's out, then I think you're going to see a rotation, right? We've seen Tyler Johnson and Scotty Miller sharing snaps so far in that four spot. I think you'll see the same kind of thing. Miller actually hasn't been targeted yet, even though he's played them 20 snaps. So I don't think you're going to play any of them except in maybe a dart throw in DFS. But as for Godwin and Evans, maybe an extra target. But again, the matchup is going to be tough.
Yeah, tough day for Tampa Bay, potentially on tap. Then again, as Daniel and I discussed yesterday, like, it's still this offense that feels prepared to go scorched earth, like 55 touchdowns feels within play for Tom Brady this season, even though he is 44 years old. It is truly ridiculous. We'll stay in Florida, and Stefania, the Tua situation has a bit more clarity for the Dolphins.
Yeah, remember I was saying that they do additional testing for a reason, that stadium x-rays often don't give you conclusive information when it comes to fractures in the rib area. And in fact, Tua does have rib fractures. That was confirmed by additional testing. Brian Flores announced it yesterday that Tua will be out this week. And he started to say he's week to week after that, then corrected it today. I think day to day is really how you look at this. Just for his protection, Tua is still in a great deal of pain, as you might expect. It made sense to pull him out for this week. But everyone around there talks about how tough he is. This is a kid who went through a dislocated hip and a hip fracture. He's had ankle surgery in the past. I think they really believe that, assuming he begins to heal up and given his toughness, there's still a shot that he could play in another week. So I would not presume him to be out multiple weeks. I think it's certainly possible. But right now, this week is all we can account for.
I think we've covered the Dolphins side of this quite a bit. Mike, if you want to correct anything here, feel free to. I feel like every Dolphin pass catcher is at best a risk this week. Jacoby Brissett, journeyman for a reason. Maybe Jalen Waddle's deep speed is good enough to break one loose. Maybe Will Fuller, who sounds like he'll play on Sunday, his deep speed's good enough to break one loose. But if you're playing them, that's what you're hoping for. But what I do think is kind of interesting here, Mike, is the Raiders defense available in about 75% of leagues. They so far this season have semi-neutralized, the Ravens offense. They played well in week one, got a lot of pressure on Lamar Jackson.
Oh, yeah.
Week two, they played well against a Pittsburgh team that, trust me, I am very much aware of the flaws, the offensive line struggles. Ben Roethlisberger has been, just be honest, for up and down so far this year for Pittsburgh, but three very good wide receivers did a good job against them. Could they be a sneaky streaming defense for this week?
Yeah, they shouldn't be sneaky, right? I mean, that's a home game against Jacoby Brissett. I mean, no question they should be one of the top streaming options, and maybe they'll have some sustainability going forward. To your point, I mean, they had a lot of veteran talent in the offseason. They were like, you know what? We've spent all these early picks on first round picks on defense. They haven't really worked out. Those guys, for the most part, haven't been factors, or at least a lot of them haven't.
Totally.
But they were like, all right, we're just, you know, no biases here. We're just going to go out and bring in veterans and patch it together. And so far, so good. You know, it has worked out. Even Denzel Perryman, right?
Yeah.
Who didn't work out with Carolina this year. They brought him in to be a probably an every down linebacker, a big part of that defense. They got rid of him and he goes to the Raiders and he's been terrific so far. They bring KJ, right? I mean, the list goes on and on. So definitely for sure. You saw the graphic. It was up there earlier with where we have these guys ranked for Miami. I don't have any top 40 receivers this week with Will Fuller back. I don't have Gesicki in top 12. The running backs are, they're using three of them. Gaskin's your top choice, but he's just a flex at best. It's not a good situation traveling with a backup quarterback. And by the way, Jacoby Brissett, he's played two full seasons as a starter, played 15 and 16 games, was QB 20 and QB 23. Yeah. Not a fantasy option.
You know what you're getting here with Jacoby Brissett. That much is for sure. All right, we're going to talk about the Thursday night. Oh, no, you know what? We're not going to do that because we have one more update here. I was just talking about the Steelers and Stefania. They have two notable injuries. Well, they have several notable injuries on defense and offense. But on offense, there are two in particular, Ben Roethlisberger and Deontay Johnson.
And I heard you guys say on the podcast yesterday, you referenced Mike Tomlin's quote about Deontay Johnson. Mike Tomlin really gives the best quotes in the NFL at this point, saying about Deontay Johnson's knee injury. We saw that it happened on the very last play of the game, and so we didn't have much information about it. All he really said was that Deontay Johnson was doing better, but not to be confused with great. So Deontay Johnson's status, I think, still very much up in the air. Ben Roethlisberger dealing with a left pec injury. And Brooke Pryor, who covers the team for us, reported yesterday on SportsCenter that Ben relayed about his injury, that it hurt when he moved his arm outside the frame of his body. Anybody who's done pec work in the gym understands what that means. When you're getting your arm, you're stretching your arm away from your body. It bothers you. Also, when he's pushing himself up off the ground, which when you're on the ground a lot, you end up having to do that. I think functionally, Ben's going to be able to play. He said he was doing everything he could to play. I expect him to be out there. But the little things that might actually impact him, even though it's his non-throwing side, ball control. You know, you use your when you have double handing the ball, that is a lot of pec work to stabilize the ball. If somebody can rip the arm back, pull it back, and cause a fumble, those are the things you're going to have to watch for. Shouldn't really impact him otherwise. I expect Ben to play.
And how about Deontay Johnson?
Yeah, that's what I was saying, is that I think it's still really up in the air, and I don't think until we get later into the week, maybe even till Friday, that we're going to have great information.
I was so mesmerized by something you said earlier, Stefania, that I lost my train of thought when you said, like, for those that have done pec work, and I thought I heard you under your breath say, not that any of these guys know what I'm talking about, but...
I heard that, too.
Okay, I thought I heard that.
I actually want to say this. I was sitting here watching you guys. I wish the camera could have been on you, because when you said the first time pec work, both of you guys did a boob squeeze. Both of you on your yourself, you went up and did it. It was amazing.
Did
it was funny.
Wait.
Yeah. Is that how you think peck work happens?
No, like I say Mike grabbed his. I grabbed my arm. I thought a peck was on my arm, so that's
why I was the right spot. Yeah.
To be fair, Field, your peck does attach on the inside of your arm.
Oh, so okay.
You
know,
it hurts so much when you're stretching your arm out or pushing up off the ground. But yeah, anybody who's done the bench press, but I do think
I've been bench pressed before.
Yeah, you have on TV.
People wonder, like, why? So what? Ben has a left pec injury. Like, why would that even impact you? And I think, you know, it's the subtle things that people don't realize. But I expect him to play.
Matt, again? What?
Steve's the name you're looking for.
Mike, this guy to my left. I don't do that. I did it to Daniel yesterday. It's muscle memory. It's pec mess.
It is.
Pec
muscle memory.
You got so excited about that. Mike? The
if Deontay Johnson sits, is James Washington a sneaky play here this weekend?
Look, they haven't had much fantasy production from Juju Smith-Schuster or Deontay Johnson or Chase Claypool yet.
Juju was good last week.
He was better last week, right? But what are they, like 28th, 53rd, and 70th in fantasy points so far?
Like, you challenge me like as if I have any idea. Like, yeah, like of course they're 28th, 50th, and 73rd, whatever you just said. Yeah.
Roughly
sorry,
those
74th. No, anyway, I mean, look, the production hasn't been there so far, you know? They didn't do much against Buffalo. Obviously, that's a tough defense, and you know, you mentioned the Raiders last week. They struggled as well. So, no, I don't think I would feel – maybe last year and past years when they were just lighting it up with them three guys. But right now, I don't think so. I don't think you could feel super comfortable with Washington unless you're in, like, one of your 16-team leagues out there.
Deeper than that, 18-team league. Survivor League, which we are in here on the podcast. All right, we'll do a Thursday night football preview in just a second. But first – Fantasy football is here, and that means more of what you love. The teams, the rivalries, the stats, and the trash-talking of friends. And your favorite fantasy stars like Kyler Murray, Christian McCaffrey, CeeDee Lamb, Baker Mayfield, they all rely on Body Armor to get them to the next level and perform at their best and give you the trash-talking points you need. And hey, this fall is a great time to up your game too, and Body Armor has got you covered. Everybody is focused on staying active and healthy, and hydration is an important part of that. Look at these guys, by the way. Kyler Murray,
yep.
Christian McCaffrey, mm-hmm. CeeDee Lamb has been great. Mm-hmm. Baker Mayfield, who leads all players in the NFL with an 81% completion percentage, incredible. Body Armor is more than just a sports drink. It's made with potassium-packed electrolytes, antioxidants, and there are no artificial sweeteners, flavors, or dyes. Now through December 31st, buy any one Body Armor product, upload your receipt at www.bafootballtailgate.com, and you'll be entered for a chance to win one of hundreds of amazing prizes for your next tailgate. No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited. Open to residents of U.S. 18 and older.
Did you know that Tony Romo is a motivational speaker now?
Really?
All this football season, Tony and Corona are remotivating football fans to live the game day good life. Let Tony unlock your football fan potential at remotivation.com. There you can launch an augmented reality experience that will put Tony in your living room or at the bar next to you while you watch the game. It's true, Mike Clay. You can be better at watching football. Thanks. Let Romo and Corona show you how to live the game day good life. Visit remotivation.com now. Please drink responsibly. Corona Extra Beer imported by Crown Imports, Chicago, Illinois.
Our Thursday Night Football preview is brought to you by Geico. Whether you rent or own, Geico makes it easy to bundle home and car insurance. Go to geico.com today. We begin with the Panthers, who are playing Texans tonight in Houston. And Sam Darnold actually is ranked 17th amongst quarterbacks for both Daniel and I. Mike, no respect for Sam Darnold outside the top 20. How many more games we need to see from Sam Darnold before we start to take him legitimately as a potential fantasy starter, Mike?
A few more. I mean, wow. he was QB 16 against the Jets, QB 14 against the Saints, and he's playing well, right? Yeah. He's playing good football and still not cracking the top 12 yet in fantasy points. And part of that, he has 6 carries for 6 yards and 1 rushing touchdown. 584 passing yards is 11th in the league. So putting up some passing yardage, not doing enough on the ground, and that's going to crush you this day and age in fantasy. That's why a guy like Justin Fields may come out and not play well and still be a better fantasy option if he's a starter because of what he does with his leg. So that's important. Also, the Houston defense has not allowed much fantasy production so far. 19 points to Trevor Lawrence, and remember, he racked up a lot of that garbage time in that game, and then 18 points to Baker Mayfield. They have 4 interceptions, too. That's second most. So I'm not there yet on Darnold. You know, we just have a long resume of struggles. He's played well this season. Love to see it. I hope he pans out. I was very high on him coming into the league, but need to see a little more before he's in that top 12 mix.
Really good story. Been a better player in real football than he has in fantasy football. Sure. Happy for the Panthers because they made a big bet on Sam Darnold this offseason. They bypassed the likes of Justin Fields and potentially could have moved up to grab someone like Trey Lance. They bypassed Mac Jones. But so far, Sam Darnold's looked really good. Now, it's only 2 games, and we've seen him play good in short stretches before, but happy for him. Not quite a fantasy starter as of now. I agree with you. I'm just more optimistic for this week, perhaps if you're looking for a daily fantasy dart throw this week.
Sure.
Christian McCaffrey. He is ranked number one on
everybody's
board.
That's the video.
Yeah. How about this, though? Let's take a moment to appreciate what Christian McCaffrey does, because I realize that there are probably some players that when you share a stat about them, fans are just like, dude, we get it. Like, I don't know how many more Tom Brady stats I have available. I'm sure there are plenty. And he could play for a long, long time beyond where he's at right now. But at some point, fans are probably like, dude, we get it. He's the greatest of all time. Like, I don't need any more evidence, right? And maybe I'm a little bit more riled up about Christian McCaffrey, only because this offseason, there were still some people being like, dude, way too injury-prone to go number one overall. I'm like, God, you have one season. Well, trust me. There are plenty of people a lot of people that were like, give me Derrick Henry, give me Alvin Kamara, which is fine.
To that point, I don't know if you remember that Jeremy Fowler did this piece on all the couches and scouts and rating who they would be drafting, and they knocked Christian McCaffrey. These are pros because of injury concerns. And there was an article that we followed it up with, me and David Newton. And I was like, that's crazy, because this is a guy who had never been hurt before and just had one down season. And we talked about his work ethic and everything else. So I think the injury concerns were overblown. And by the way, last week, that was cramping that he had no right. injury.
Yeah, it was hot as hot as
what
Dickens.
What were you going to say?
Hot as Dickens is what I was going to say.
Okay.
But what I was going to say on my stat here is let's just add one more to the Christian McCaffrey is awesome file. With 60 plus rushing yards and 60 plus receiving yards tonight, Christian McCaffrey would become the first player in NFL history to ever do that in four straight games. The baseline being set by Christian McCaffrey is like usually 100 plus scrimmage yards per game. He's starting with 10 fantasy points, and he's most likely going to score a touchdown. He's most likely going to have 5 or 7 catches. And Mike, here's what I want people to do tonight is everybody knows Christian McCaffrey is awesome. We have not seen all that much of the Panthers in prime time in recent years because they have struggled during his first 4 years as a team in the NFL. And of course, last year he missed a significant amount of time. Just watch him tonight. Appreciate him and watch the way they utilize him. And when you hear about teams in the future saying, this is our Christian McCaffrey, laugh at those teams, right? Because they don't make other Christian McCaffreys. The way that they utilize him in the passing game, the explosiveness after the catch. Christian McCaffrey is a unicorn. I can't wait to watch him tonight. We're going to tell you to start him every single week, but it's fun to have the opportunity to watch the best player in fantasy football on prime time.
You got it.
Let's move to wide receivers, Mike. And DJ Moore is inside your top 20. Pretty optimistic about what you've seen so far from DJ?
Yeah, I am. I have him 17th. He is 15th through 2 weeks so far. So he's been terrific out of the gate. 28% target share is a career high for him. Check this out. Speaking of interesting stats, another one for the Panthers here. DJ Moore has 8+ targets and 80+ air yards in 7 straight games. So he's getting volume and he's getting vertical work. That's outstanding news. You love to have that in your fantasy lineup. He has never cleared 4 touchdowns in a season. That makes you a little nervous about him going forward and sustaining this, especially in such a pass-heavy, high-scoring league right now. Need more touchdowns. I believe he scored one in week 1, if I'm not mistaken. No, that was Robbie Anderson caught one.
Anderson's caught one on one pass in week 1.
But nonetheless, Moore sitting 15th right now. He's off to a good start. You know, Houston did only allow 7 fantasy points to Cleveland receivers last week, but remember, Odell Beckham out, Jarvis Landry hurt in the first couple of plays.
Right.
They allowed 51 to the Jags in week 1. Obviously, again, a lot of garbage time there, but nonetheless, we're not, despite what the raw numbers might say, we're not super worried about this matchup, at least for DJ Moore this week. Should be all systems go.
By the way, Christian McCaffrey's yardage prop for tonight, over-under is 136.5.
That's insane.
For Christian
That is an enormous number. It's so high that you like have to take the under.
You have to, like, you are compelled to. At the same time, he could easily surpass that within like 3 quarters. Robbie Anderson, who we mentioned a moment ago, Mike, he's at kind of a slow start to the season. I just said 1 catch in week 1. Are you concerned about what's happened so far?
Yeah, how about this? 9 targets so far, right? DJ Moore is 19. Christian McCaffrey is 15. Terrace Marshall, the rookie, has 9.
Wow.
He's tied with Terrace Marshall. The good news is, well, first of all, I should say he's 13% target share, exactly half of what he had last year, 26%. But here's the good news. 192 air yards so far. That's number 1 on the team. So even though he's 10 behind Moore in targets, he's getting a lot of air yards, vertical opportunities. And we saw that hit in week 1 with the long touchdown. So a change up from last year, how they deployed him. We'll see what happens going forward. I'm definitely nervous about him being a reliable fantasy option, but he should hit for the occasional big play, and that keeps him on the flex radar. One more quick nugget field. He had that 57-yard touchdown in week 1. His stat line otherwise, 3 for 38. You know, again, that's
week 2,
that makes you a little nervous.
Yeah,
only had the 1 catch in week 1. That's all he did in week 2.
Yeah, that air yard stat's interesting because on the one hand, it shows that he has big play potential. On the other hand, we were having this conversation about Mike Williams yesterday. Mike Williams' ADOT has dropped by like 6 yards this year. And it's only 2 games, but relative to his career average. And while the big play potential is decreased, the percentage, like the higher percentage plays are way increased for Mike Williams. You just hope that Robbie Anderson doesn't get boxed too deep into that exclusively down the field role for Carolina.
Yeah. Yeah. There are plenty of guys like that make you nervous. And there's no question. You love seeing that for Mike Williams. We're playing PPR here, right?
Sure.
Non-PPR, you're like, okay, take those deep shots. PPR, you want as many high percentage throws as you can because you can get 0 yards, but if you caught the ball, you get a point, and that's huge.
For sure. Last one in Carolina.
I just want to say thank you for teaching us that.
You're welcome.
Mike, at 11:33, 33 minutes into the podcast.
We're going into week 3.
About 5
here.
Years,
you know this
about 5
now.
Years into your first appearance, how fantasy football works. If you catch the ball,
you get
a point.
That's what I'm here for, right?
And that's what it's a about.
Yeah, tomorrow we're going to dive into what a flex play is. Yes. We'll have that exclusively on the podcast.
I'll do some research and we'll work on
crazy.
That.
Okay. We're going to do fractional scoring on Monday, guys. Wear your party pants.
Last one for the Panthers is their defense, who, as I mentioned the other day, the only defense so far, at least in ESPN's default scoring settings, that has at least 10 fantasy points in each of the first 2 weeks. I've got them all the way up at defense / special teams number 3. Mike, you're there as well for the week. It's an excellent matchup. Houston obviously has Davis Mills starting tonight. Nico Collins, Danny Amendola. Not that either one of them sort of, you know, I don't know that they're breathing fear into your, not, or bringing fear into your life if you're a defense, but still, like, they're two of the Texans' top 3 wide receivers, I would think. It's a limited group. Offensive line's okay. I don't think it's a bunch of gangbusters, and the running back room is okay as well. This is a great matchup.
Yeah. Apparently, we need to teach Daniel how defense special teams works. And
that's on Tuesday's
that
podcast.
Tuesday's
yeah.
podcast is defense and special teams.
Good. We need that lesson because you're at 10. I don't know what you're doing. So, anyway. But all your points are fully accurate. Yeah,
thank you for that, Mike. Great job.
Great play here against Davis Mills.
All right, let's move forward to the Texans. And this one's going to be quick, obviously. No one here is starting Davis Mills. Is anybody here? Are you considering any Texans running back?
Oh, man.
Just say no.
With a 4-man committee here. Only one, just at a quick nugget here, only one Texans running back has more than 13 carries. It's Mark Ingram with 40. And only one Texans running back has more than 3 targets. That is David Johnson with 6. Wow. None of them are top 33 fantasy running backs. And by the way, the Panthers have allowed the fewest fantasy points to running back so far. So, of course not. We're staying away from this group.
Yeah, it feels like it's possible. I mean, I think it's very possible a Texans running back scores a touchdown tonight.
Sure.
I just have no idea who it will be. And for all I know, it could be like Rex Burkhead on a jet sweep or something, right?
100%. Yeah, and he's been involved too. He's played 19 snaps so far. I mean, that's only 14 less than Phillip Lindsay. Wow. Think about that. I mean, that's how they're using all 4 guys pretty, not evenly, but they're all involved plenty.
That is a running back by committee. Yes. Brandon Cooks, Mike, is the only Texan that seems to be weekly on the fantasy radar with Tyrod Taylor now on IR. He's inside your top 30. He has been very, very busy this season.
Yeah, so trivia question here, and okay. if you read my tweets, you should know the answer. So that's 2 tests in 1 year.
But, yep.
So Brandon Cooks, number 2 in the NFL in air yards with 298 through 2 weeks. Who's number 1?
I'm going to go with Cortland Sutton.
Boom. He follows me on Twitter.
Why didn't you ask me?
I blocked you.
He follows you on Twitter?
I would have said the same thing.
He does because he knew that.
What a brag, I follow you too.
Wow.
How'd you know that answer?
Well, yesterday we used the stat about how Cortland Sutton had, I think, 61 more air yards than anybody else in the league in week 2. So I sort of figured that with that huge lead in week 2, he probably had a chance to be close to the top in week 1, even though he was not productive in week 1.
What you mean is you saw me tweet it because you have alerts on your phone when I tweet, and then they pop up on your phone, and then
like a few weeks ago, I learned that there was an iRacing event that was crazy, and there was a huge dramatic finish.
Exactly. Yeah, I think I finished 3rd in that one. Anyway.
Wow.
Oh man, Mike.
Love you guys.
I love you, man. This is the best. But Brandon Cooks is usable. Not just the air yards, the target share is huge. 35% target share this season. How about this? Where does that rank? You probably already know the answer.
What's that?
Where is a 35% target share rank?
3rd, probably. Certainly right in that mix. I think who's number 1? Debo Cooper Samuel, Cup. I think, is
and
number
Cooper
1.
Cup. Cooper Kupp. Cooper Kupp and Debo Samuel. Yeah, he has 3. Great stat from from Kyle there.
So there you go. But yeah, he's 2 good games so far. And one quick thing I'll add on here. 9 of Mills' 17 targets. That's a 53% target share. Went to Cooks last week. He only had 4 catches for 28 yards. Did score a touchdown, though. So the volume will be there. The efficiency may not be in a tough matchup. But he's played too well. He's going to see too many targets to bench. I'm downgrading him without Tyrod, but he's still startable.
But still startable, I would think, especially in a matchup that could get out of hand potentially tonight, Thursday Night Football. Let's pick this game, and I'm assuming we'll have consensus, but I will start things off, and I will pick the Carolina Panthers on the road to win.
Yep, me too. I think it'll be probably closer than the line. I'm not sure what the line is, but I'm at Panthers 23-20.
8-point favorite.
Wow, so I'm actually taking the points.
I'm going 28-16. How about you, Stefania?
I'm not even going to give it a point total. Just Panthers and a whole lot of Christian McCaffrey.
Okay.
Like it.
I'm going to go Panthers 29-12.
I
just
like
want
that
to
unique
score.
So,
Can I ask for that? That's yeah, what Scorigami I want out of this cool. game, a Scorigami.
Scorigami, that's all Stefania wants. All right, time now for us to get to the wide receiver cornerback matchups, the piece that Mike Clay writes every single week on ESPN+. Mike is the best at it. He is the founder of, you're the founding father, actually, of wide receiver cornerback matchups for fantasy.
He's like the Alexander Hamilton of wide receiver cornerback matchups.
Oh, yeah, oh, yeah, man. Totally.
I couldn't get that. Yeah. Article off the website if I tried. Mm. And I've tried.
You have?
Did you guys get the Hamilton joke?
Yes, well done by you.
I thought there'd be more laughter, but no big deal. It's whatever.
I'm going to have Daniel earmuff it for a second here because we begin our wide receiver cornerback matchup in Detroit with the Lions and the Ravens.
We do. And the Lions, yeah, they're having a rough go at cornerback, right? Mm. Jeff Okuda is on IR, went down in week one after things weren't even going well in week one. As you recall, what was he arguing with on the sideline? He was
it was Jeff Okuda.
It was Aubrey Pleasant, right?
Oh, yes. Sorry.
He was screaming at. And then later on, he went to have an Achilles injury, so he's done for the year. And then, let's see.
Fatu
Melifonwu.
Yes! Good job, buddy.
Nice.
Third round rookie on IR as well. So that was Okuda's replacement. So now they're down there, a third string perimeter corner opposite Amani Oruwariye.
That's it. Amani Oruwariye.
The second time. It took me a second. So they have him. They have Bobby Price, who's in the UDFA last year. And then they have AJ Parker, who's an undrafted free agent this year in the slot. Definitely struggling at that position so far. They've allowed the eighth most fantasy points over expected to wide receivers. So what does that mean this week against Baltimore? You have Marquise Brown on one side. Well, actually, he's been playing inside more this season. He's 52% slot this year, but he'll see all of these guys. Sammy Watkins mostly on the perimeter, and Devin DuVernay, you're not really going to start him, but he plays the other perimeter spot. So Brown's been awesome this year. Speaking of target shares, 30% so far. As long as that keeps up, he's a must-start. Love the matchup. And if you're looking for maybe a flex option, you're thinking about Sammy Watkins, I think the answer is yes this week. 87% snap share, 28% target share. He's right behind Hollywood in terms of usage so far, so he's a viable option this week.
I'm going to see if I can pull this up right now, but I know the stat coming into this season was that with Lamar Jackson under center, just four times had a Ravens wide receiver produce at least 20 fantasy points in a game.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that sounds right.
Look at this.
Is it all Hollywood?
Hollywood Brown has done it now once this season. So make it five, because Hollywood Brown did this past week. 6-for-113 against
the
Chiefs.
What did he do week one?
Plus a touchdown. He had 6-for-69 with a touchdown, which if my math is correct off the cuff, that's 18.9 fantasy points.
Yeah, just
close,
short.
But still, like, we're seeing much better play from Hollywood Brown, which we can all see here with our own two eyes against in the first 2 weeks of the season. We expect it to be a big week on Sunday as well against the Lions. One more on the positive side here, Mike, is the Seattle Seahawks.
Yeah, the rich get richer. Tyler Lockett, already the number two scoring fantasy wide receiver this year, has point totals of 26 and 32, and he should be able to keep it rolling here against a Vikings defense that I'm kind of like backing, you know, that Homer gif backing into the bushes. I've been very high in the Vikings defense this year. The personnel is there. Not a good start so far for that team. Cincinnati, and you know, obviously that one they should have won, and then they go to Arizona. You kind of understand that one, but 107 fantasy points to wide receiver so far. That's third most. Now Patrick Peterson's done a nice job, but he's staying at home on the right side. The left side's been a problem. Bishad Breeland's been targeted on 29% of his coverage snaps. He's allowed 45 fantasy points field. That is most among defenders so far this season.
Not good.
Don't be surprised if you see some Cam Dantzler. He was a healthy scratch week one. Could sub in, play more. Lockett, and of course I lay that out because Tyler Lockett lines up on that side a little over half the time, and DK Metcalf's on the other side. So Metcalf has a tougher challenge there against Patrick Peterson. Lockett looking good here with most of his routes coming against Breeland and or Cameron Dantzler.
We're going to talk about a couple of matchup downgrades in a moment, but first, no matter what the sport, professional leagues go through a rigorous process to select the best athletes for their teams. What if you had the tools to put that type of rigor into your hiring process? Well, you've got them when you've used ZipRecruiter. And right now you can try it for free at ZipRecruiter.com/06010. So how does ZipRecruiter scout the best and brightest for your team? Its matching technology scans resumes across its network of millions of job seekers to find qualified candidates for your open roles and proactively presents them to you. Then you can easily review recommended candidates, invite your top choices to apply for your job, which encourages them to apply faster. No wonder 4 out of 5 employers who post on ZipRecruiter get a quality candidate within the first day. And right now you can try ZipRecruiter for free. Just go to this exclusive web address, ZipRecruiter.com ZipRecruiter.com/06010. That's right, ZipRecruiter.com/06010. ZipRecruiter, the smartest way to hire.
Academy Sports and Outdoors and Sarah Spain are teaming up to bring you two exciting episodes of her podcast, That's What She Said, featuring insightful conversations with captivating women who are blazing trails in the sports world and the great outdoors. Guests will range from the WNBA legend to a professional fly fishing guide to an NCAA conference commissioner. You'll hear from San Antonio Spurs assistant coach Becky Hammon, ESPN star Laura Rutledge, hardcore carnivore founder Jesse Pryles, and more. These special episodes will air in October, so be sure to catch That's What She Said, presented by Academy, available wherever you enjoy your podcasts.
Hey, Daniel, you're a big, I'm assuming, I don't know, maybe I'm wrong here. Are you a big Dax Shepard guy?
I love Dax.
He's from Michigan. He's from the Glove, so he's very proud of his Michigan heritage.
It's called The Mitten, but it's no big deal.
The Mitten, my bad. That was stupid by me. Do you ever listen to his podcast?
Yes.
Great podcast.
Yeah. Unqualified?
Is that what it's called?
No.
Unqualified?
That's Anna Faris. Yeah. Dax Shepard, armchair expert
is what his podcast is called. And I feel like we should go with, have you ever heard him do his ad reads?
Mm-hmm.
We are presented by, welcome, welcome, welcome. We are presented by, he does the best ad reads of anybody I've ever heard on a podcast.
I'll tell you what, I'll try to up our live read game, Phil, starting next week.
No, yeah. I just think we should be like, we'll like be a little bit more theatrical with our live reads. What do you think about that?
I think maybe you and I maybe get into, we find our inner thespian.
Yes.
Yeah.
I am tone deaf. I cannot sing worth a lick, but I can be a little bit dramatic every once in a while.
Tell me about it.
I know. You know this.
That was interesting timing that he brought that up. Like kind of just. Right after you do an ad read, he's
It's like, you know how Dax Shepard is good at ad reads and we're not, Daniel?
Right. No, I'm just saying we can be better at them. I'm just trying to make our advertisers happy because they make our show
possible. It's like, hey, babe, you know how this dinner is so good, but you also remember when we went over to your mom's house last week? And it's like, that's exactly what you don't do.
Okay, got it. Duly noted. All right, let's get to matchup downgrades here. We begin Monday Night Football right here on ESPN. Cannot wait for that. Mike, mm-hmm. who is getting a downgrade this Monday?
Yeah, you know what? So this is interesting because I put out a tweet last night, just kind of a fun one. Like, you know, week three was the big Justin Jefferson breakout last year after he did really nothing in weeks one and two. And I was like, who's, you know, is there someone that's going to do that this year? And I think the most popular response was Devontae Smith, right, with the Eagles going up against Dallas, right? They've allowed 45-plus fantasy points to wide receivers in weeks one and two. But beware, because it's not that simple. There's a strong chance that he is shadowed by Trevon Diggs in this game. He is shadowed in weeks one and two. He was a second-round pick last year and kind of coming into his own here in year number three. Shout out Mike Evans in week one. Remember, Evans didn't do much in that game, only two catches for 15 yards on 38 routes against Trevon Diggs. And then last week, he shadowed Keenan Allen. Now, Allen did get away for a big play against him, but he only had two catches for 72 yards on 19 routes against Trevon Diggs. So, look, Diggs shadowed on 100% of their perimeter routes. If they were on the outside, not in the slot, if they were outside 100% of the time, Diggs was on them and he went into the slot part-time as well. That is notable here, Field, because Devontae Smith so far has lined up on the outside 80% of the time. Yeah. So if they follow suit with that, if Dallas keeps using that same strategy, roughly 80% of the time, maybe a little more than that if he travels inside too, Diggs will be on Devontae Smith. So that's not good news for him. But on the other side, there's another element to this, a potential upgrade. If you're looking for a sneaky play, it is Jalen Reagor on the other side. Anthony Brown working on the other side away from Diggs, allowed 4 for 91 and a touchdown to Antonio Brown in week one. Remember, he had that big week one. And then week two, Mike Williams, 4 for 55 and a touchdown. He's allowed 39 fantasy points so far. That's second most to only Bashaud Breeland. So worried about Smith upgrading Reagor.
Love the Reagor call. One of my favorite daily plays this week. The other thing, and you and I were talking about this before the show, how recency bias checks in fantasy. Reagor had a touchdown last week that was called back, correctly called back, by the way. Yes. He stepped out of bounds at like the 4-yard line in the NFL. You have to reestablish positioning before you're allowed to touch the ball as the first player to touch it. So he was flagged for illegal touch. But if that was a touchdown, we'd be talking about Jalen Reagor. He would be one of the most popular, like, is he a must-start plays in fantasy of the week?
Remember, first-rounder last year. No, listen, tons of pedigree there.
Ill-fated decision to bypass Justin Jefferson. There's still a lot of football left. No one was saying that Jalen Reagor did not belong in the first round, by the way. So Jalen Reagor's going to be fine for Philly. Last one here, Mike, for the matchup downgrades. Not the last one, actually. One more, though, here before we get to our actual last one. F1 McLaurin, baby, there not Terry McLaurin. Wow. F1.
McLaurin, F1, you got it. Exactly right. Unfortunately, we might have to You know, I was going to make a, you have to put him in the garage reference, but I don't want to say that because we're not going to do that. You're still, you still have to start him, right? He's way too good to start. Maybe in DFS, you put the F1 in the garage this week. He's going against Tre'Davious White. White is probably going to shadow him. Even if he doesn't. Now, White hasn't shadowed so far this season, but generally if there's a clear number one on the perimeter, he will. Makes perfect sense in this one with Dyami Brown on the other side, Adam Humphries in the slot, Logan Thomas the tight end. It makes sense to put him on McLaurin. But even if they don't, the Bills have allowed 55 fantasy points to receivers so far. Their expected total based on how the volume and location of those targets is 80. That gap of 25, best in the NFL. They've been outstanding against opposing wide receivers so far. So, again, whether he's shadowed or not, very tough matchup.
Mike Clay has the best stats ever. Like, I wasn't sure where he was going with that, but, like, their expected points subtracted, and they're the best in the NFL. Like, are you tabulating that yourself?
I do. So we have OFP on the site, which is, you know, essentially expected fantasy points.
Literally based on, created by you.
Yes. So, well, other people do that too, but we've had OTD, which we've talked about for a long time, OTD, but I have my own proprietary formula for it. But I flipped it around. Now you can always get OFP and OTD on the site. If you have ESPN Plus, now you can get the defensive side as well to see who, cause look, like say Tampa Bay, right? They're always ahead, so teams are constantly throwing against them. So you're like, they stink against, you know, they stink defensively. You're giving up all these fantasy points, but you look at the expected total based on all that volume versus the actual, and you're like, wow, they're actually better than average, you know? So you have to consider both of those things when you're considering, you know, how good a team is against your wide receiver, running back, tight end, whatever it may be.
Like the coolest thing I've ever created is like a burrito in college that was like named after me because it had like a certain type of salsa in it. Like that's as far as my ingenuity goes.
But food is always a step above football stats. I'm hungry now.
So. I just want to say this really quickly, Mike. You put together an incredible article at the end of the week called
The Playbook.
The Playbook. It's available.
You've clearly read because you were like,
I was setting you up. Have you never done production before? So anyways, it's amazing. And if you have ESPN Plus, you have to check it out because it is my favorite thing to read. It is so insightful. Field, you talk about incredible and amazing stats. It is just full of incredible nuggets. Definitely check it out because it's one of my favorite things to read.
I appreciate that.
We are lucky to work with Mike Clay here at ESPN.
Seriously.
Very lucky.
We did spend a lot of time in the offseason working on that and building, like, what should it look like so everyone, you know, with the projected win totals. Keith Lipscomb, Pierre.
Not cool. Keith, the best as well.
We had a great team. Great team. We had other people look at it and figure out the best way to present that. So there's matchups, projections, player rankings. I have a nugget on pretty much every, if you're even considering a player to start, I probably at least mentioned them. I've definitely mentioned them at least once. So Thursday night's up right now. If you want to check that up at Plus, and then tonight we'll add, or tomorrow morning we'll add all the other games. So it's a lot of fun to write. I'm really excited for it. I hope everyone enjoys it.
It's a must read. Listen, must read every week.
Don't take Mike Clay for granted. That much we know. Let's go to one more matchup downgrade. And when I say one more, I actually mean one more. This is the last matchup downgrade before we get to the touchscreen. Mike, let's talk about Calvin Ridley here for a second.
Yeah, so again, another guy you have to start, but just maybe a little bit of buyer beware in DFS this week. So the Falcons are playing the Giants on the road. James Bradbury, you know, man, that guy
really good.
Should be a household name, but at this point, I mean, ever since he's entered the league, he's been a shadow corner. He's been terrific. The Giants got themselves a nice free agent signing last offseason. He does shadow more than anyone in the league since he's been around. Believe it or not, you know, these two actually played in the NFC South for quite a while together. Mm-hmm. He never shadowed them. They only had 13 routes against each other because why? Bradbury shadowed Julio Jones every time they played. So they don't have much experience against each other, but Bradbury did shadow Terry McLaurin last week. Didn't do a great job in that one, but we know he's very good. Ridley's always on the perimeter 88% of the time, so those two will be up against each other a lot this week.
Can I just say, and I know we just said this, I'm sorry, and I hate to keep piling on the praise, but Mike Clay just told us how many times in his career James Bradbury has shadowed Calvin Ridley, meaning that somewhere you have that information of it. Like, I just love you, man. You're so good at your job.
Thanks. Thank you.
I appreciate it. You don't have to apologize for praising him, by the way. Like, you should always praise.
That's amazing. You're good at what you do.
Well, I've been, ever since I started doing the receiver cornerback matchup, I've looked at every team against the defense every week since I've done it.
Since six straight years now.
Yeah. And I chart everything. I have a list of who shadowed, who did it, like going back that far. So it's just
full on nerd alert, but also like massive
100%,
respect.
100%.
It's also
but
why the computer sounds like a jet engine.
That's true. I didn't bring it today because it's heavy. I'm not taking it.
We need to get you like a pull bag. You can't be carrying that over your shoulder. Like, hey, it's a physical.
If Mike had stronger pecs, like, he might be able to carry it, but with no pecs, he can't really handle it.
That's true. I got to work on that. But by the way, shout out to our stats and info team for helping me build those feeds and allowing me to do that. I couldn't do it without them. So Hank over there and the rest of the team, thank you so much. I mean, that's a driving force. Couldn't do it. I'm not going to sit there and watch and chart every single player and every play. You can't do it. You know, you need help, and they do a great job.
Wow, you could have just taken all that praise, but then you share
this. This is like more the why biggest love you, fest that I've ever experienced on the 06010 podcast. And I'm really like, I'm feeling so much like in my heart, you know, that I don't know what to do. You guys are all so full of, this is, you know what, more men should pay attention to this and just don't be afraid to share praise. And you guys have done a great thing today. I'm going to go shed a tear.
It is not dead. We have it here. It is alive and well in the Fantasy Focus Football Podcast. Let's go through Mike's wide receiver quarterback matchups here on the big screen. As you can see, players to get an upgrade this week. Marquise Brown coming off of a 20-plus point performance. Mike also mentioned Sammy Watkins. Now, technically, Devin Duvernay goes into the upgrade column, Mike, but what we're telling you is, like, just, you know, still tread lightly. It's Devin Duvernay. It's a third 30, receiver.
32 team leagues. You got to get him in your lineup.
Yeah, there you go. You have it there. Calvin Ridley gets a downgrade facing off against James Bradbury, who has shadowed him exactly how many times in his career?
Zero times
in his career.
13 routes against each other.
Thank you. 13 routes in the past. Devontae Smith, he's an Eagle. You love the Eagles. He's definitely going to be upgraded, right?
Unfortunately not. Trevon Diggs this week.
Not, and Trevon Diggs has been very good. People saw it up close and personal in week one. Because the Cowboys were on national TV against the Tampa Bay Buccaneers. Tyler Lockett's been so hot so far this season, Mike. He goes into the upgrade, right?
Tyler Lockett, yes, absolutely. And then we got one more here.
F1.
Which way is he going?
Heads
going
to downgrade. Tre'Davious White, a really, really good player for the Bills. And Mike just told me less than 52 receiving yards for every wide receiver so far against the Bills this season. Is that correct?
Is that what it is?
I thought you just said 52.
I don't know. I don't hear what
maybe
what
that
I said.
Was on the street. I'm sorry.
The 25-point gap between actual and expected fantasy points. But
well, the stat I was thinking of is no player has more than 52 receiving yards against Buffalo this season. They have been quite good defensively. All right, we've got just a couple minutes left on the show, and I know we have some social questions we want to get to, Daniel, but I wanted to see, because I want to take a moment here, did anybody see the video posted by the Las Vegas Raiders Twitter account that I shared and subsequently a few others shared as well of their kicker Daniel Carlson addressing the media? Did you see this?
Yes, it was excellent.
It was great. So Daniel Carlson, very solid kicker for the Raiders, who had four incredibly important field goals in week two, won him the Special Teams Player of the Week award in the AFC. Mm-hmm. He was playing against himself in fantasy football. Part of the reason why he lost was because he was playing against himself. The video was so wholesome. And what I really loved about it is the attitude that he approached fantasy with was summed up in like 30 seconds to find. He basically was like, hey, I think we all agree, there's no tolerance for bashing your favorite players in fantasy on social media. But I do appreciate when the players see just how much visibility and good it does bring to the sport.
He talked about it. He said that, you know, a lot of his friends were talking to him about it. He had people coming up to him and thanking him for helping. But he said he acknowledged that the presence of fantasy football has really help put a spotlight on some of the players who otherwise wouldn't get as much attention. So we love players who love and appreciate fantasy football.
Yeah, and think about this too. He also noted he was in an apple orchard and someone came up to him. I love it. Do they have apple orchards in Las Vegas? It's 105 degrees.
That's what I was thinking. Like, you're in Vegas. Where's the apple orchard?
So you want to go to an apple orchard? Come right here. Come to Bristol. We got about 97 of them within 20 minutes from here, right?
Just made you like him even more. So
yeah, no doubt about that. Very cool moment from Daniel Carlson. Congratulations on the Special Teams Player of the Week win. And I'm sorry about the loss in fantasy, but I'm not that sorry, because let's be honest, that was a huge moment for you on the field. Dan, we say goodbye at this point. Is that correct? Is that what's happening right now?
Yeah, I think so. Unfortunately, we've got the DFS podcast that we are going to do. Mike, Clay, Al Zeidenfeld, and I. Make sure that you stick around. It's going to be here in your Fantasy Focus feed. Not live, however, we are available on YouTube as a full video podcast. If you check out at NFL on ESPN, we will be up there. Mike and I will tweet out a link to that if you like watching the show rather than listening to the show.
There you have it.
But that's it.
There's one more. I have one more note.
Yes.
From Thirsty Kyle for tonight's game. He said Daniel's prediction of 29-12 would be a scorigami. Oh. And if there's another field goal on top of it to make it 32-12, that would also be a score, Gami. So I'm going to go with 32-12 since I didn't make a points prediction. And either Daniel or I, we will get a score, Gami, and I would be so happy.
That would be amazing to see. Enjoy the game tonight. Enjoy watching Christian McCaffrey on national TV. That is a sight to behold. For Stefania and Daniel and Mike Clay, I am Field Yates. The CSS DFS podcast will be out shortly as well. Otherwise, we'll talk to you guys on Friday, previewing every single game.
Don't forget to love each other.
Peace out.
Peace out.
Peace out. Peace out.
See you guys.
He's a NASCAR guy with a base to try. A Langford fan for life. Chargers are off to a terrible start, but that won't change his mind. Matching up all the cornerbacks, touchdown regression and weekly stats. But if your team falls flat, he's the one to blame. He's a brainiac, brainiac on the case. With projections that can put us in first place. He's a brainiac, brainiac, he's Mike Clay.
The 2024 NFL Draft heads to Detroit, and it's time to see who gets the job.
Caleb is a unique and special talent throwing the football.
And what sets them apart.
The Heisman Trophy winner is Jaden Daniels.
All of the greats were hired here.
Throw by Mahomes.
See who gets the job.
Are you ready?
The 2024 NFL Draft begins Thursday, April 25th on ESPN, ABC, and NFL Network.